I thought you'd like to hear the context of the last quotation, okay? So I went to the sutra, original sutra, and pulled out some of the context. And it's kind of cool. So we were talking about going to a movie and watching people describe the great deeds of others, you know? Rather than being the one they describe, okay? And then the Buddha in that sutra is dissing people who talk too much and don't do it. Okay, so here's what he says. Malagawa nyepa didako. Let me tell you the problems that come when you talk too much. It means talking without doing. Okay. Dakni dubnyam dani chicha she. Chiwe duze chibanyang eche. Dubnyam dani. I've lost all of my ability to practice now. Now what am I going to do? Chiwe duze. People who talked their whole life away without doing. Alright. Chiwe duze. When they come to their death. Chibanyang eche. Then they are sad. And they regret having talked about what they were going to do and not doing it. They never reach the depths of understanding and they reached pain. Malagawi nyepa didak. So it's like a refrain. He keeps saying, Malagawi nyepa didako, which means these are the problems of talking and not doing. Okay? Here are some more. Tsakyu shindu goshin yawate. You are, what do you call it? Moved by events around you, like a blade of grass in a windstorm. Deni deta tetsum gyodum nge. And you start to doubt yourself and your life. Deni namyang loten min gyote. And you never have any confidence in yourself. Malagawa nyepa didako. Then he repeats the refrain. These are the problems of talking and not doing. Karla tawe tuna dupashik. Then comes the verse that we heard about going to a movie or a play and watching them talk about somebody else's deeds. Opposition langin dorgan. Malagawa nyepa didako. Duka shengi lemo chepa dang drawar sung. We shouldn't be like people who are listening to someone describe the great deeds of another person. Okay? Tupetam thurmi lembar nyamen la bega. Stop talking and start practicing. Deta mena chute tu kiawe gyuyang dile tuwa mete. This is a very unusual Tibetan expression. Say chu. Te. So chu means dharma. Te. You know te. Some of my attendants probably know te. Because te is short for temo. And temos are the creatures who eat the chibis. Abominable snowmen. Okay? So yeti, right? Yeti in Tibetan is temo. So that's a long story. But if you talk about Dharma all the time and you spend all your time discussing Dharma and you don't do it, then the Dharma becomes a chute, a Dharma yeti, or something like that. It turns into a monster. The Dharma turns into a monster. The Dharma is, you know, it becomes something, a monstrosity, and not a beautiful thing. Just to sit and talk about Dharma all day, and then you don't go help poor people or sick people, or you know. Then the Dharma turns into a Dharma yeti, a Dharma gorilla or something. I don't know, a bottomless snowman, monster. Kyewe gyuyang dile tuwa mede, and nothing more than that. Turdang mangla gomtang yung chudeki gyuyin. It's almost like a make a good rap lyric. Okay. Tudang mung gondang yung chudek gyu yin she. Tudang mung means I've heard many teachings. Gomdang yung, I haven't practiced many of them. I've heard many teachings. I've practiced only a few. Chudiki Gyu, I've turned my Dharma into a abominable snowman. I'm an abominable snowman Dharma practitioner. You know, like became a monster. The thing that was supposed to cure you became an object of your study. And you died like that. Alright? Chudiki Gyu Yin. The Dharma became a monster. Sumbatar. Dambo Tepe Tsena Semla Chungse Pembatar Nangyang. People who come to the Dharma teaching to learn more things and they're not planning to, in the class, they don't spend a lot of time thinking about how they could apply that to their own situation, right? It might help them a little to come to class. It helps them a little, especially in the beginning, because a little progress in the beginning is a lot compared to what you did before. Pembatar Nangyang, De Juk Kyang Te Yang Dang Yang Du Yi La Chepa Dang Goma Ma Chena. But if after the class, after the retreat, you don't try to make repeated efforts to review what you learned and to put it into some practical application to help real people practical applications. Kyang Te Yang Dang Yang Du Yi La Chepa Dang De Jesu Tupe Kam Ngar Le Shen Tsam Dang De Jesu De Le Shen Tsam Ki. Then there's this thing called the chepto. Say chepto. Chepto means, Ken Rinpoche explained the word to me. I didn't have a dictionary my whole life. I had Ken Rinpoche. So when I wanted to know what a word meant, I went upstairs and I bribed him with a tea or something. So I was like, what's chepto mean, Rinpoche? And he's like, so you have a child who, I don't know, is always eating the cookies out of the cabinet, you know, and then you hit them once, and then they keep eating the cookies, and you hit them twice, you know, and then you just keep hitting them, and then they become, what do you call them? They're like, okay, hit me, you know, what do you call that? Immune. Inured to the, they don't care anymore, so okay, hit me, you know, I'm just going to take them tomorrow anyway, you know, and they say that. He calls it, here he says it, shen tsam, means the effect that a teaching has on you the second time you hear it is less. You hear some awesome teaching the second time and you're like, that's pretty cool. And then the third time it's like, you know, I wonder if he couldn't teach something new this week, you know? And so there's a danger to coming to too many teachings and not trying to practice them. Because then you get very, you get like a, what do you call that kind of a child? What would you call a child? Like, incorrigible is pretty good. You become untouched, like you, it doesn't affect you anymore. You hear some awesome thing and you're like, oh, I heard that. That was in the Vajrayana Tantra last year. I heard about that, yeah. And it doesn't affect you anymore. So it's important to try to make changes the first time you hear it. Because if you don't, then the second time you hear it, the likelihood that you'll try to make changes is not very strong. Okay. In the end, a person like this, no matter how profound the teaching they might hear, they think to themselves, oh, I already heard that. I heard that already. And then they are immune to the beneficial effects of the Dharma. It doesn't touch them anymore. They just say, I heard that before. And then the fourth, fifth time they hear it, they're just like, they don't even hear it. I have students who can sit in my whole class for 2 hours and I don't think they hear a word. You know, they don't seem, they're just like looking around, you know. If you go to too many and you don't use it on yourself, then there's a danger, okay? And then the Dharma has become a yeti, a monster. Okay. So there's a master named Chokse. I should look up his Sanskrit name later. He wrote a thing called the 100 Verses. Raptu chungne la lok dang, pume kyosun tongwa dang, checha ni le shawa de. Tisum yun chen shepar gyur shesumbadang. This is okay. This is, what do you call it? Politically incorrect verse. But I have to just translate it as it is, okay? So it's not my viewpoint. Raptachune lai lokdang. A monk who has disrobed, all right? And Pume Kyosim Tongwa, a woman who has lain with three men. Chechang Nile Shorwa, and a wolf that has escaped a trap. Disum Yunchen Shepacha, don't trust them. Don't, these are three things you shouldn't trust. So that's just like a folk saying in Tibet. What's the point? Why did he put it here? What were we talking about? Yeah, you go to too many teachings, you know? I guess he would add a line that says, a student who went four times to the same teaching, you know? And they're just like, they don't care. Like the fox knows how to get out of the trap. And the woman, she's like, okay, I had two or three of you before, I know what to do, you know? And the monk is like, they say disrobed monks tend to talk about the other monks, you know, reveal their secrets and stuff. So then a student who just goes to the same teaching four or five times and their mind is not affected any. They know there's not, it doesn't have an effect on them anymore. That's the point. Okay. We can say the kadam kong me sungle dikchen chuki tukyang chude chuki mi tul. Dikchen chuki tul is a verb from dulwa. What's dulwa? Yeah, to tame or to discipline, right? Vinaya is dulwa, right? It says, dikchen chuki tul. You can tame a person who is evil with the Dharma. It's possible. You can. But chude chuki mi tul. What? Mitu. A chude. Yeah, a person who has become hardened to the teachings themselves is hopeless. You can't help them. You know, they'll say, I heard that already. You know, and you say, no, I'm just trying to tell you, you know, you're going to the hell realms. And they're like, yeah, I heard that too. You know, and it just become like a armor plate against all, anything you can say. Say, you broke vow number 48. They said, yeah, but there's a scripture that talks about that. I don't have to worry. You know, they've just got an answer for everything. And they're no longer applying it to their own self. You know, okay. Kyongbo numgi tulkyang, markog numgi mi tul. Kyongbo, I gotta look this up, okay, sorry. Let's be responsible. So this is Dan Stiver's database. Where is she? Senator Kyombo. So there's like a million pages in the computer. And if I don't know a word, I search it. There you go. Oh, okay. That doesn't make much sense. Okay, yeah. So, this is an old saying in Tibet. How to say it? In Tibet, they make lots of butter, right? Because they don't have vegetables, because it's too high. You live on barley and butter. Not much vegetables. And then there's no storage of anything. But they've learned how to take in the intestines out of a sheep and dry it in a certain way. And then you can stuff things in it, you know. And you can carry them around. It's like forms a bag. Okay? Then the markok means a bag that you use to store butter. So butter in Tibet, because of the altitude, can stay for about a year without refrigeration. But you don't want to eat it. you know, and so anyway. But what happens is the sheep bags, sheepskin bags that are used to hold butter, the butter, what do you call it? It permeates the leather. And then normal leather, when it starts to crack, you can use butter to make it softer, more pliable. But a markhok, a bag that's been used to store butter, when it starts to split, it's you can't do anything, okay? Because it doesn't help to put more butter on it. It's already filled with butter. It's permeated with butter already. When it starts to split, you have to throw it away. A person who hasn't been filled with Dharma still has some hope, because you can teach them more Dharma. But a person who's filled with Dharma all the time, they're, what do you call it? Immune to further Dharma. That's a big danger, okay? That's a big danger of knowing too much Dharma, okay? And not trying it, okay? Just learning Dharma and not applying it in your life, okay? So here, sitting here right now, listening in this class for the next, I don't know, hour or something, 2 hours, try to apply everything to yourself. Am I like that? You know? Don't worry if I'm like that, I am. Then, or if the person next to you is like that, they probably are, we don't know. Just worry, am I like that? You know? Am I like taking a lot of teachings and I'm not applying them to myself? Like that. Everything that comes up in the teaching, see if how it applies to you. Find a way to apply it to your own situation. And then you don't get immune to it. Alright? Got it? Okay. She singatar shintu ta chepa. Ta chepa means lost cause. That person is a lost cause. That's a good translation. Okay. Che shengi chode shorwa la chanju larmim diten na dul nukyan. If a person has become immune to other forms of Dharma, you can still help them if you teach them the larmim. Okay, so they've had Vajrayogini and they've had, you know, lots of emptiness teachings and they've had all these things. But if they haven't had Lamrim, you can still pull out the Lamrim at the end and take a shot. Okay? Get it? All right. Lamrim la lotena, but if they become immune to the Lamrim, kangi kyan dulta meba, then it's a hopeless. Okay. Then forget it. Okay. Tabu yinbe ne de la sapka. So be careful, he says. Be careful. Now we're down to lamrim. Then kang yamsen len char tepa lekpa che. So whatever kang tebe dungila jarte tesam gomsum yama dawa gopani. Then kang yamsen len char tepa lekpa che. It is correct to come to the class and listen carefully to the teachings which are helping you know what you should be practicing. But then you have to take what you learn and apply it to your own spirit. And you have to go through this, what do you call it? There's a process. Say, Tu sam gom. This process is so famous in a pedagogical sense, in an educational sense, that the proper name of Sera Monastery is Tu Sam Gom Ki Ling, the Golden Isle of Tu Sam and Gom. Okay, so it means this is the educational process as seen in a Tibetan monastery or by Buddhism. Right, three steps in education. Tu means classroom time, you know, classroom hours with your teacher. You sit in the class and you hear the teacher explain. That's called tu. It means hearing, shruti, right, in Sanskrit, listening to the teacher's explanation. Then sam means go for a walk in the woods and think about it, you know, or as you're driving home or as you're on the plane home, then think about it. That's the second stage in the classical process of learning in Buddhism, which is contemplation, right? Think about it. Just think about it. sort of in an intellectual way, and then gom, meditate on it. So all Buddhist learning is described in those three steps. You learn something in the class, you consider its validity, some, and then gom. Then you internalize it through meditation and practice. Okay? You hear, you consider its validity, contemplate it, and then you go sit on your mat and you internalize it through the process of deep meditation. And this is the classical way of learning. But what happens is people get to ta and they don't go to the sam and the gom. Okay? They just keep collecting more and more knowledge, more and more facts. And then they don't change. And then after a while they can't change because they're too used to it. Okay? So it's very important to try to rot some changes in yourself with each time you come to a retreat or a teaching. You know, have some kind of program in your mind for when you get out of the retreat and how you're going to use this on yourself. And then during the class, see if you can like jumpstart the whole thing and what do you call it? Apply it to yourself even as it's being spoken. That's kind of more efficient, right? Like, as it's being spoken, make changes in yourself. That's a cool way. It also, as I said, it keeps you more engaged in the class. Rather than just listening, you're trying to use it on your own insides as we go. Okay? Drom Juki Gyabo Kyang. So, Drumton Jay, you know Drumton Jay, right? Drumton Jay, he's famous. I think he's a role model for a lot of us. He never became a monk. Okay? He was a layman. And he became an extraordinary teacher. And he's up there with all the Dalai Lamas and all the Panchen Lamas. And then Drumton is there in his chuba, right? In his layman's robe. Chuba is just like a jeans. You know? He's up there in his t-shirt and jeans with all the Dalai Lamas in the tankas, right? And I like him. I think he's cool. I used to think John Stilwell was Drumton Jay. I don't know. Anyway, Drumton Jay means someone who... he's famous as the person who facilitated Lord Atisha's mission to Tibet. So this Indian Lama, Guru, came to Tibet, started teaching. He needed... what do you call it? Material assistance, logistical assistance. This guy would always show up with three yaks, a bunch of butter, it's tea, a horse when he needs a horse, you know. He just like materialized things to help spread the thing. Like a DCI advocate. Okay, anyway, here we go. DCI advocate means a person who agrees to take responsibility for a city on this planet. And make sure that we can go there and have programs and stuff like that. It's fun. We'll talk about it later. You have to pick a city. So anyway, Drumton Jay said the following. Nga tudu sena samgom do. Nga samdun sena tukom do. Nga gomdu sena tusam do. When I sit in the class to get a teaching, it's already, what do you call it? It's like Bokchimba. It's already, what do you call that? It's already setting fire to my contemplation and my meditation. You see what I mean? I'm just, even as I sit in the class, I'm already triggering contemplation and meditation in the class, okay? Then when I go home to do my sam, which is what? When I want to contemplate. When I walk through the woods and to think about what was taught today. Then suddenly that triggers ta and gom. I get more learning and I get more meditation. Then when I go sit down to meditate, ta sam do. My listening and my contemplation take off. Meaning each of the three supports the other. Okay, it's not just a linear progression. Okay, when you get to sam, it makes you a better listener and a better meditator. When you get to meditation, it makes you a better listener and a better contemplator. And of course, learning makes you a better contemplator and better meditator. Got it? Okay, that's what he said. ngadome chulam de kene doshepa shi chi tu malu dom chepe. Every single thing I apply myself to, I use all three things: learning, contemplation, and meditation. Chulam de kene doshepa. I know how to turn a teaching into a path, meaning a personal path. Okay, I know how to convert a classroom teaching into my life's behavior. Okay, like that. That's a beautiful skill, right? Ngad kadam chokcham mahlung we dunya bakmik shin tul shepe lekundi tokte kadamin. Nga karam chokchar ma lungwe. I don't fall into one part of the teachings. Den gya bak mik shin tu shepe. I know how to emanate 1,000 eyes for the mask in the, they call it like a passion play in Europe, right? They use masks and, you know. So bark means a mask. And in Tibet, you can draw like 100 eyes on one mask, you see. So what he's saying is that there's a lot of debate about what this line means, because it's 1,000 years old and nobody really knows what it means, okay? In my opinion, it's that in the, there are folk operas in Tibet, and you wear special masks. And then some of the masks might have a 12 eyes on the mask, you know. So he knows how to take one teaching and turn it into 1,000 eyes. You know, he learns one thing, then he puts on this mask, and suddenly it multiplies to 1,000 things. Then he sees 1,000 things where other people only see one, because he understands the process of tu samgom. Bakshin tushepe, lekundi topa de kadamin. Then I, these 1,000 eyes allow me to understand all things perfectly. Okay, kundi kadamin. I'm that kind of kadamba. She sumbataro, deyang zejen kamba lakpa chepa la mentun re ni tenpe chiryang min gyurwar. Then ze means leprosy. Zejen means a leper, a person with leprosy. Kanglak Chepala, who's had already had some amputations of their arms and legs, okay? Chepala, mentunre ni tembe. If you give them medicine to stop the further spread of the leprosy, but they only apply it once or twice, it's not going to help. Like, leprosy was the most feared disease in Tibet, and it was not uncommon. And the treatment for it was very drastic. You know, like sticking the arm into some asphalt, burning asphalt, or something like that, you know, tar. And it wasn't like, he's saying you can't take a person with, leprosy and give them a few drops of iodine on it or something. It's not, nothing's going to happen. You got to jam it into some boiling tar or something like that. Okay, then they'll survive. The person will live. They'll lose a limb. Okay, topchema mangdasa gopatar. So if they do take medicine, they have to take it, strong medicine, and they have to keep taking it. They can't just take a few drops of it. Rangchak toma mepane nyomobe neshi tsapchengi tepala. We are like a leper in that we have had a mental, we have had a spirit, we have a disease of the spirit has plagued us for a time with no beginning. Okay? For a time with no beginning. We have suffered from diseases of the spirit, right? Tapchen tepala. Tamaki dunla renin lamsu langwe mi chopa. Nothing's gonna happen if you just go home and do a couple meditation sessions. It's like putting iodine on leprosy. It's not nothing's gonna happen. You know, I think those of you who are serious about yoga, you know, it's just a daily thing for 5, 10, 15 years. That's all. And you, otherwise you never be very good at it. And meditation is the same. And practice, serving others is the same. It takes training. It takes a lot of training. And it takes persistence over many years' time to get good at helping other people. Okay? Langsimi Chopra, Chui Gyun Shin Nende De Bega, your practice should flow like a river. Okay? That if someone looked at your, if someone plotted your yoga sessions on a chart, it should look like a bunch of dots flowing. You see what I mean? And there shouldn't be gaps in it, okay? Because then it will flow. And meditation should be like that. And serving others should be like that. We're under no social obligation to serve others, right? We are praised by our peers if we serve others occasionally. Because no one else is doing anything. But really, to be good at it, you have to do it daily. You should be serving others daily. And I'm talking hands-on stuff, you know. I'm really happy with Jeff Eddy and Nick and Jigme. They're going to the prison. You know, they didn't let it go. We had 75 people came to the training. Those three are going. Christine Walsh, some other people. I'm really proud of that. And a prisoner came to me recently who got out. And he went off on this thing. He went off on this thing like how he saved his life. You know, that was 10 years ago. Debbie Bai. And he said, she saved my life. You know, now he's out. He has a very successful business and he's a meditation teacher. But you have to... Service also has to be consistent and repeated constantly, like yoga or meditation, or you'd never be good at it. Okay, you just look good because there's no competition right now. Okay, nobody else is doing anything. But we should be good at it, right? We should be really good at it. All right. Let me chop a chewing gish into bigger thing. Like going to the prison, you know, anything you do, they'll appreciate. But why not be really good at it? Like, why not be the best at it? You know, like, take a lot of time and work really hard at it and make it really nice for them. That's what he's talking about. Lopan Chandra Gomi. Okay, this is an old Indian sage called Chandra Gomi. He said, Deryang Gindu Semni Namongla Yungrim Dusu Neshi Tenje Ching Zechen kamba lakpa chepa la thanga men ten pai gir chi gir chi. So this is an old Indian quotation. It's from a book called Shakta. Somebody attributed, several sources have attributed to a book by Chandra Gomi called Shakta, which means in praise of admitting your mistakes morally. In praise of admitting your moral mistakes, okay? But I couldn't find it. Either we're missing a volume of the Tengyu or I don't know. But we have this quotation from it. Gyundasemni Namongla, our mind has been misunderstanding things for countless eons. Yunin dusu ne shi ten je ching. We have suffered this disease for countless years. Zechen kamba lapa chepala. If there were a person with leprosy who had already had some amputations of arms or legs, tanga men ten pai chigirchi. Then there's a thing called tanga men. It's a kind of medicine made from herbs. What use is it to apply, to give them a few touches of the medicine on their limbs? Nothing's going to happen. All right. Don't expect big results from these teachings if you don't make a big personal effort in a disciplined way daily to do something with them, then nothing's going to happen. All right? Shri Sumbataro. Telltale Lagnen. Then he's going to tell one story, then let's take a break, okay? I like this story. It's a very famous story, and I think it has a deep lesson for us, okay? Chel Laglenla Depa, you have to get good at putting a teaching into practice immediately. Okay? And I'm talking like in the 5 minutes following the teaching, right? Or even as the teacher's describing something. If the teacher's like on a chapter about jealousy, then as they're talking, you should be examining yourself and saying, you know, do I have jealousy? And when was the last time I had jealousy? And how can I use that on my jealousy? So it should, all the teaching should be go through your ears and then be focused on your own soul. You know, how can I use this on me? Okay? As you, even as you're listening, and chow-tell means instantaneously, you are applying it to your own self. Okay? In the class. You're already some and gum, right? In the class. Then he said, he gives an example of a good, you know, yogi who was doing that. Who? Geshe Chenghoa. So Geshe Chenghoa is an old Kadampa Geshe from 1,000 years ago in Tibet. You should be like him. Konggi Durwa Sikpe, he was sitting in a cave reading Vinaya. Okay? He was reading text about the monk's vows. Kopak Shi Kapsu Rabchungi Kopak. There's a very famous Vinaya scripture called Kopak Shi, which means a teaching concerning the use of leather or skin, dried skins of animals. Okay? Kopak Shi Kapsu Rabchungi Kopak Changmi Chokpa. Then he got to a sentence in that scripture that said, a monk should never use the skin of an animal for anything. Okay? Leather, kopak. And then he was sitting on an animal skin, okay, while he was reading that. So he stopped in the middle of the sentence, and he got up and he took the leather and he threw it out, he tossed it out of the cave, you know. And then he went back down, sat down, and kept reading. De ma tak, chir, listen, kondishin yopa de ma chak, pangwadze. Yang Mar Sikpe Yuta Koptu Kopak Chang Chok. Then he went back down, sat down, opened up the scripture again, and the second half of the sentence said, in extreme cases, if you are sitting in a cave and you're freezing, you know, and your practice is really endangered, and someone has given you a leather seat or a skin seat, you're allowed to use it. Then he went outside and got the... and brought it back, okay? But he didn't wait to finish the sentence to get up and throw the skin out of the cave, okay? All right? I like that. I think that's cool. Miksel Nangwa means he understood there was an exception to the rule. Signe, ngarki komden yar langne. He went out and got the skin, shook den the tingma, set it back under his butt, and kept reading. Okay? All right, so let's take a break. You have anything before the break? No.
If I can meet Dulce, Naomi, and Miriam.
Dulce, Naomi, and Miriam,
yeah.
Where?
Just in the corner.
Over in that corner. Have a nice break. Let's call it 10, 15 minutes. Let's say 3:15.
Okay.
Hi. Oh, yeah, when I come back. Yes, please, loud, okay?
We were talking this morning in the yoga class about the central channel, and then we practice really well, then the side channels will go and we'll just do the central channel.
Yeah.
And if I understand correctly, then that would be negative emotions, afflictions going away. So then is that like, so then would that, like I'm wondering how that relates to nirvana, which is also.
Yeah. Yeah. Did everybody hear the question okay? So this morning in the Naguma class, we were talking about how she designed her series partly with the intention of causing the two side channels to withdraw into the central channel. In fact, in Sanskrit, one of the names for the central channel is avaduti. So ava means off. Duti means to throw off. And the idea is that you have these two side channels that are... You know that medical symbol? Some people say that was a depiction of the channels. I don't know. I don't think that's the original historical idea of it, but it's possible. So... On the left side, you have a channel when prana flows in that channel called Ida, then you want things unreasonably. We gave the example of second and third biscotti in one trip to Starbucks. So the first biscotti, you feel happy, and you have hot chocolate and biscotti. Then I go to Starbucks almost every day because I like to hang out there because I like to watch people while I work, you know. And then, so I have a hot chocolate and a biscotti. I enjoy them. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. I sip them and chew on them slowly, and I translate. And it's fun, and I have a good time, and I feel at ease. After an hour and a half, it's too much computer. I start to get nervous and overworked and agitated from the vibes of the computer, right? And then I feel unhappy. I start to feel unhappy. Then I think a biscotti, another biscotti and another hot chocolate would make me feel better. Right? So I go have another one. Then we say the prana has moved from this channel, the central channel, to the Ida. The prana has shifted. When the prana is running in this channel, you want things that you don't need. Okay? So yesterday we said it was okay to want things, and it is okay to want things. You want to have a nice car? Have a nice car. It's okay. You want to have a nice house that you can practice in? That's okay. You want to have a nice partner? That's okay also. It's not okay to steal other people's money to get your house, or steal other people's partner to get your partner. You see what I mean? That's a difference. So when the prana moves to this side, this central channel, when prana is moving in the central channel, you are amenable and you are open to believing that the world is coming from how you treat other people. When the prana moves to here, you lose that. Then you're taking things from other people. You want things and you take them. Right? And that prana has moved to this side channel. And then the other side for anger, okay? And we gave the example in the yoga class of... No, you gotta tell the whole story. You have your second biscotti, and then you're like, God, this is going to make me fat. And then you feel upset. And because you think, well, I'm upset. Maybe I'd feel better if I had a third one. You know? And then you go to get a third one, and they say, we don't have any more. And then you're like, you know, unreasonable desire goes quickly to anger. Right? I don't know what you mean, you know? So then you get angry, okay? So then the prana is flowing in the right side. Then the ultimate purpose of all yoga is to cause those two side channels to atrophy. Those of you who know the Vajrayogini sadhana, Sungjin Tishing Jom. Sungjin, say Sungjin. Tishing Jom. Sung means the right hand channel. Zin, it's a code word. Zin is the left hand channel. Tishing means a vine of ivy. And so they say destroy the two vines of ivy. Chom means to destroy, right? It's in the Vajrayogini sadhana. The goal of yoga is to destroy the two side channels and rip them off of the central channel like ivy. Like I have morning, what do you call it? Morning glories. They take over your garden. They twine around all the other plants and they slowly choke them. I love morning glory flowers. In fact, in Arizona, it's illegal to plant them. It's illegal to sell the seeds in Arizona. But you can go, you know, you go and you rip them off the roses and you rip them off the jasmine and you rip them off the, you know, the juniper trees. And we seek to do the same with the two side channels. Then they withdraw into the central channel. Then you are only a central channel. And then the body changes into light, because the knots created by the two side channels create the material flesh of the body. Okay? And when you have a duty, right? When you tear them off, and with yoga and with meditation, right? Chinantap latsor bat means you can destroy them from the inside, or you can rip them off from the outside. You can put your body in certain positions, and it will start to loosen them from the main channel, from the central channel. And then from the inside, you struggle Chittavritti Nirodha. Chittavritti Nirodha. I went crazy. I mean, you gotta tell Janet Stone, where is that guy? She's like, stop your chittavritti, stop thinking about everything. I'm like, ouch. You know, the class was so good up till now. Chittavritti doesn't mean random thoughts in your mind. Chittavritti means looking at things vritti, the wrong way, right? So, normally, like you want a boyfriend, and you struggle, you go get new clothes, you go on a new diet, you go on a new exercise program, you throw out your old cosmetics and you go to Sephora. And that like causes so much confusion to go to Sephora. There's too many choices. And you're like, damn, you know. And then after a while you get tired and you just buy whatever you can, you know. And that's chittavritti. That's a misunderstanding of how the world works. Your perception is skewed. Vritti means skewed. The word weird comes from vritti. Okay, philologically. So, if you see that the way to get a boyfriend is to go to a nursing home or help a lonely person, then you plant a seed. Then you can go to Sephora or not go to Sephora. It doesn't matter. The boyfriend will come. You see? It's 100% sure he will come. If you want to go to Sephora, you can. If you want to buy some new clothes, you can. You don't have to. He will come anyway. Because that's not what causes him. Okay? But it's still nice to have some nice clothes. All right? It's okay. All right? So, anyway, then you would only have understanding left. If the prana were always flowing in the central channel, you wouldn't have chittavritti. You wouldn't misunderstand how to get a boyfriend. And then you would become enlightened slowly. That's enlightenment. You would become enlightened. Okay? So, what was your question? I don't remember. Oh yeah, then that would be nirvana. So what is nirvana? Nirvana happens before enlightenment, okay? Nirvana is defined as Nyendra Malupapami Sastanga, right? So what it means is nirvana is the end of your negative emotions. Nirvana means is before enlightenment in most cases. And nirvana means it's you are incapable, you cannot be made upset by another person. It's not possible. If a person were like a demon, like your ex-boyfriend or your boss, and they decided, I'm going to upset her. I'm going to find a way to upset her. And they tried everything they knew. If you had already reached nirvana, they couldn't do it. They couldn't upset you, right? So how does seeing emptiness help you reach nirvana? Supposedly nirvana is defined as getting rid of your obstacles because you saw emptiness directly. Right? Getting rid of your negative emotions forever because you saw emptiness directly. How does understanding emptiness help you overcome, for example, anger? And then the classic example is the boss screams at you or your ex-boyfriend says something about you, right? And you hear it, right? And then human nature, which is samsaric nature, is to respond with the same. Right? They said, oh yeah? Oh yeah, you said that about our relationship 3 years ago? That was private between us? Well, I'll tell you something about him. You know? Okay? So you respond with the same. You thereby plant another seed. And then the next boyfriend you have is doing the same thing. Okay? So it becomes a cycle. Right? So a person who has understood emptiness understands that the world is being created by seeds, which are planted by what they do and say and think, right? So when it comes out that the boyfriend said such and such about them, about, you know, something private from 3 years ago, then they just let it go, okay? They break the cycle. Not because the boyfriend was doing a good thing, it was doing a bad thing, but they understand that it's coming from them. They understand that what the boyfriend is doing is coming from them, the ex-boyfriend. Okay. They don't perpetuate it because they understand that what he said was coming from something they said before. So the last thing you'd want to do is to say another thing about the ex-boyfriend. Okay? You'd want to just stop the cycle and say, okay, it's true he's a schmuck, but let it go. You know? And then you break the cycle, and that, and then you reach nirvana. That's nirvana. You say, I'm not going to get angry, because what he said was coming from me, and if I get angry, I'll just create another schmuck like him. Okay? Then slowly you don't have anger. No one can piss you off. Nobody. Impossible. That's nirvana. And you can only reach it by understanding where things are coming from. We say it's not possible to remove anger from the human soul without that understanding. We say there's no other method or power that can remove anger from the human being. It's not possible. Only if you understand that the crap is coming from you can you stop it. Because otherwise you'll keep responding to violence with violence, right? It's cool. It's very cool. Okay, so that's the connection, yeah. The more prana you got into the central channel, the more clear it would become to you that the boyfriend is coming from you, the ex-boyfriend. And then you would stop responding, and that's nirvana. And then eventually that would lead to enlightenment. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, nirvana is triggered by the condition of your inner winds. And to do yoga and to get more prana into the sushumna enables you more clearly not to respond to the boyfriend. And then that's nirvana. Then you reach nirvana. So yoga is outer aid, a partner, and yoga are considered two forms of outer. They call outer aid in the search for nirvana. Okay? Like that. Cool. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I have a question about meditation that I think maybe everyone will, it's been bothering me. So, in terms of working with the breath, if your intention is really to just practice single-pointed focus, it has a simplicity, an accessibility, and it lacks sort of romance, and it lacks doubt. No, it's just your breath. And so there's a sutra, right, on the
say again?
Anapanasati or something, Sutra? I don't know. Maybe. There's a whole book about it called Breath.
Yeah.
Breath.
Yeah.
This Theravadic teacher mm-hmm. talks about this whole process. Mm-hmm. His teachers who said, you could see emptiness if you just work on the breath, just work on this thing. Mm. And you're always saying, no, breath. doing your mind with focus.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think I just have a couple of questions about that. Like, first of all, is there a way to feel that the breath is holy? I do feel that it is,
mm-hmm.
very holy. And because of the simplicity, is there a time and a place to just practice that single pointed focus with the breath? Because it does seem to be helping me reach a deeper peace in my mind, like a kind of a different place,
Okay.
Then you can then use,
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, if a lower school person uses the breath to see, there must be something different, right? And you talked mm-hmm. about that when you were teaching emptiness. The object and the subject are the same, but there must be something different. And I'm just wondering, if that seems to be about the bodhicitta.
Okay. There's a book called Abhidharma. There's a whole series of books called Abhidharma. 7 books of Abhidharma, I think. Only one of which is widely used anymore, which is called the Abhidharma Kosha, right? So it's written in the 4th century by Asanga's brother, half-brother, Vasubandhu. Then in there, when he teaches meditation, he says, start by watching your breath, which is called Uk. In Tibetan, it's called Uk Jung. Uk means breath. Jung means the exhalation. Ngup means the inhalation. So Uk Jung Ngup is a practice that comes from the Abhidharma. Abhidharma is one of the 5 great subjects of Buddhism. What are the rest? You can say Prajnaparamita, which is lower middle way. Abhidharma, which is second school. First school. Which is called Vaibhashika. And then there's a Sautrantika, which are the logic schools. And then there's Madhyamika, which are the middle way, higher emptiness schools. And then there's a school on Vinaya, which is ethics. So these are the five great subjects of ancient India and of Buddhism. And then Tantra you can consider a sixth. So historically, only two of them made it to Southern Asia. Three of the schools weren't, the lineage was never passed on to Sri Lanka, Thailand, Burma, the southern schools. And I've been there. I've studied in Thailand and Sri Lanka. So I think what happened was they got stuck on the breath thing because it was presented in one of those two schools. It's considered in the whole frame of the five schools to be a useful preliminary to meditation. Like you use it to sharpen the mind and to focus the mind. And then you move on to another meditation with content. We would say that the mind is like a mirror, and then you place objects before it, and then the mind absorbs the content of those objects. So for example, if you meditate on the Dalai Lama, okay, then you place a person's personality in front of the mirror of your mind, and then that personality is reflected in your mind. And the word meditation in Sanskrit is bhavana, and in Tibetan it's gom, right? So bhavana means, bhava means become, right? Na means to make you. Bhavana means that which makes you become that thing, which you place before the mind. It's interesting. The word for meditation is a technique to become that thing. So if you place an image of the Dalai Lama before your mind, the mirror of your mind, and if that image is reflected in the mirror of your mind often enough, and you know, consistently enough, day after day, you become that person. It leaks, it's what do you call it? Osmosis. What's the other word? Anyway, you become that thing which you meditate upon. And that's the meaning of the word meditation. So breath is good, you know, but you don't want to become breath. You see, breath is good to get into a groove, and it's very, very powerful, and it's very, very beautiful. It's very, very good. And I do it constantly, and we are trained to do that. But then you're encouraged to go on to something with more content. Because whatever you place before the mind, you will become that. So then you have to go on to other more important objects, you know. Without any other background, could a person who only meditated on the breath come to see emptiness by only meditating on the breath? No, not possible. If a person had studied emptiness extensively in their past life and then meditated on the breath in this life, could it trigger the perception of emptiness? Yes. Okay? But if you're assuming a zero start point or something, it's better to get a lot of teachings on emptiness, then use breath meditation, and then go on to meditate on those teachings. And that's how it happens. That's how it really happens. So it is possible someone meditated on the breath and saw emptiness, but that's because they already had those teachings in their mind. Okay, so I think for us it's safer to do both. You know, do the breath meditation and then go on to what you've learned. And I'm talking, you know, Rinpoche used to say 3,000 hours. He used to say the number 3,000 hours of meditation teachings, classroom hours on emptiness, to see emptiness. So you need that. You really do need that. And it works. It happens. And yoga opens the central channel and speeds the process. When you see emptiness directly, large amounts of prana are injected into the central channel. And they cause you to see emptiness directly. So you can speed it up by doing physical practices which are carefully designed to inject more prana into the central channel. Okay? But to see emptiness, you need to samgom. You need to study. You have to think about it. Argue with other people. And then you have to go sit in your room and meditate on it. And it's not going to happen just through watching the breath. But watching the breath is a beautiful... It's there with you all the time until you die. And it's always there to meditate on. So it's a beautiful practice. It's a wonderful practice. Everybody uses it. But then they use it as a tool. It's like a microscope. It's like developing a very fine microscope. But then you have to train the microscope on something. You see what I mean? Meditation is a tool. It's not a goal. And then you need content. You know? Okay. It's like having a really fast web connection with no content. Really, seriously. Okay.
I guess it's like hard to figure how to structure your content, you know? It's hard to figure how to structure it. I can see that it's useful. It's helping me rest my mind in one place.
Yeah.
Whereas my years of mantras and years of, I take a lot of rides, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know that I was here until I came here.
Yeah.
And then you taught us in the first part about single point of this level of meditation that we want.
Yeah.
Oh, do you separate the times that you do, like a holy meditation?
That's the function of your personal teacher. You see, that's why you need a heart lama. You need someone, like if you're going to be good at yoga, you need to be in the yoga studio with your teacher every day for years. And if you're going to be good at meditation, you got to be under the guidance of a meditation teacher constantly, daily. And that means you have to find one, and then you have to make the commitment to stay near them. And we don't talk much about that. I don't talk much about that. But it's if you want to be good at yoga, you have to go move to New York and be in Dharmamitra's class every day for a couple of years. And that's the commitment you make. And it's the same with meditation. You know, each person's different. Someone might need half breath, half emptiness. Somebody might... Then the teacher might slap you on the head and say, forget the emptiness and the breath, I want bodhicitta. You know, but it's like you need to be in the sphere of a qualified teacher. And there's no other, I can't give you a rule without being with you frequently and, you know, like that. I'd say in general it's good to, I've always used it a lot, breath meditation. I've used it up to a quarter of the meditation time and then go on to something else. I think that might be a good rule of thumb for you. You know? Okay? All right. Maybe one more quick question.
Are there different depths of realization of emptiness?
Okay. Did everybody hear? So, classically, there are, what do you call them? Munsum Tsema and Jepak Tsema. In the Yoga Sutra, Pratyaksha Anumana Agama, first chapter. Classically, you begin your comprehension of emptiness in a classroom situation. So there's a qualified teacher, preferably who has seen emptiness directly. And then they start to describe how to do it, and they take you through a lot of classical presentations. Then that's ter, right? Shruti, that's listening. And then sam means you take that home and you, on long walks and on car drives and waiting for dentists, you think about it. And then gom means you meditate on it, okay? And then you have your... There's a stage called Jorlam, path of preparation. During Jorlam, you begin to have intense intellectual understandings of emptiness. This is like a process that happens to everybody. With enough teaching, with enough practice, you enter Dzogchen. It's a spiritual milestone that everyone goes through who sees emptiness. And then you start to have intense intellectual understandings of emptiness. They culminate in Dzogchen Chuchok, which is only maybe an hour long or a half hour long, and you directly perceive how your mind is creating the objects around you. Not intellectually. You directly perceive how your mind is creating an object such as a computer or a table or a pot. And you catch your mind, you catch karmic seeds opening in your mind, creating tiny images which then fly out and are imposed upon objects in the world. And you catch yourself doing it for the first time. After the intellectual breakthroughs, you have an experiential breakthrough, which is not in meditation. You're standing around and you suddenly see how, oh, this thing is an image emerging from a karmic seed in my mind. And that's why I see this thing today. And you actually catch the image being produced by the mind. You know, and that's earth-shaking. That's dependent origination. That's the real meaning of dependent origination. You see how your own mind is creating the objects around you as seeds open in the mind, which were planted there by how you treated other people. But you catch your mind doing it. Then that's the first time you perceive dependent origination directly, rather than as a concept. You catch your mind doing it. That's called Dzogchen Chuchok. That's called the highest thing in the world. Except for seeing emptiness directly. Then in the next few hours, you always see emptiness directly. In the following next few hours, you have a direct perception of emptiness. And that perception in no way differs from the way emptiness is perceived by a Buddha. Okay? It's not qualitatively different than the way an enlightened being sees emptiness. The way you see emptiness the first time yourself, long before your Buddhahood, and the way an existing Buddha is seeing emptiness are exactly the same. There's no difference. Okay? That's very interesting. That's the answer to your question. 100% nothing exists which is not coming from seeds in my mind. And you can't be more or less that. You see what I mean? It's 100% not coming from anything else. And it never gets bigger or more than that. Then there's another debate after that, if you want. You want that one? But the, what do you call the ambiance, the milieu of the mind which is perceiving that emptiness in exactly the same way can be different. Because an enlightened person's mind is simultaneously seeing every other object in the universe. Okay? But the quality of their emptiness perception doesn't differ from the what do you call it? The setting or the context is different, right? They're also perceiving every other event in the universe. But how they're seeing emptiness doesn't differ. Because it either is or it isn't completely devoid of not coming from a seed. Got it? It's very beautiful. And that's a big subject in the scriptures. It's a very interesting subject. And we debated it fiercely in the monastery. Okay. Then they got into this argument of, you know, among Buddhas, people who got enlightened earlier, are they seeing it differently? Yeah, I took that position one night. Okay. If somebody got enlightened like a trillion years ago, and somebody got enlightened a billion years ago, are they seeing emptiness the same? That's another question, right? And I was like, well, anytime you see something that you've already seen before again, you see it in a deeper way. And they're like, no. And it got really hot. Okay. All right. We'll do just a little bit more of the text. we got it through four conceptions. Let's see if anyone can remember them. I am a sick person. The Dharma is like a medicine. Teacher is like a physician. And to practice the Dharma is like taking the medicine, right? Now we're on to number five, which is, five and six were a little confusing, right? Number five was, think of Lord Buddha as a holy being. How that sticks to the metaphor, I'm not sure. We have to talk about that. Why does that, you know, how's that fit into the medical metaphor here? I don't know. Anyway, here it goes. Lapa deshin shepa la kebe dambe dushi kepa ni. You should try to think of the Buddha as being a holy being. Chudi dambar sumapo dumba sangye ni. The first person to describe in this planet these teachings was the Buddha. Lam debu danchepa rangi mundu che. He not only described it, the path and its result, but he used the path and he had experienced the result before he started describing it. Okay? So he wasn't teaching something he hadn't already experienced. Mundu che. Shen la de shin du sumba yimbe lando ka ne tumba la tuwa chung se tsam yang. So he was a person who was able to describe things as they were, tata. Okay? They started the sentence with tathagata, the one who has gone that way. And he's making a pun. It's a pabonka pun. Okay? He's saying, tathagata described things tata, the way they were. Okay? It's an inside joke. Deshin du sumba yimbe. Langdor ki ne tumba. So when he started to teach, Langdor. Lang means the stuff you should be doing. Dor means the stuff you should stop doing. Okay? Then all Buddhist practice can be called Langdor. Stuff you should be doing and stuff you shouldn't be doing. We have done those things which we ought not to have done, and we have not done those things we ought to have done, and there is no health in us. I like that. It's from Mass. Okay. Dumbala tupa chungze tsa mepa. So in describing what you should do and what you shouldn't do, he never missed anything. His description is perfect, right? He never makes a boo-boo. Mingawa semekibu. Therefore he is semekibu. He is a person of pramana. He is a person of pramana. Those of you who had course number, was it four? What's it mean? Yeah, in 13. What's a person of pramana? What's it mean to be a person of... What's pramana? Yeah, correct perception. You know? You think it's an iPhone. By the way, this is Lama, okay? I'm only here because Lama doesn't need me this week. But if Lama needs me, Lama calls and I go. That's why I have a phone, okay? I see an iPhone. Is it pramana? Yeah, it's pramana. It's an iPhone, okay? Then if I, you know, I don't know. I thought this was coffee and I drink it and it's like, peppermint tea. You know, and then that's a tsemin. Tsemin means an upramana. Not a valid perception. Okay? But used as an adjective for a person, pramana. By the way, first chapter of Yoga Sutra is big on pramana, right? Pratyakshanumanagama. That's a beautiful subject in Yoga Sutra. But anyway, as an adjective, pramana means a person who cannot lie. Okay? A person of pramana. Not capable of lying. A person who cannot lie. Okay? So we consider the Buddha, we consider how they became a Buddha, and we can conclude that they are a person who cannot lie. They're not capable of lying. Okay? De dambe chu dila trupa kala yut. Nyamdu, Sangye Jesu Jamba Gut. So then you think, well, if a person who cannot lie describes a certain spiritual method, then it must be accurate. Okay? And there's no mistake in it. Nyamdu. That's called Sangye Jesu Jamba. Jesu Jamba means, I don't know if you've ever seen, it's called the Four Close Recollections. It's a Buddhist practice. Okay? It means think of the Buddha. And in this case, it means reflect upon how infallible they are. All right? That's called the close recollection of a Buddha. So Songtso Chikla, now this gets interesting, okay? Deshin Shepa La Kebu Dampe Dushe. Think of the Buddha as being a holy being. That's what we call this category, right? Then Pabongka Rinpoche says, turn it around. Okay? He says, I think it was intended the other way around. And then he says, what's that mean? And then you think of your holy teacher as a Buddha. Okay? Okay, he says the true meaning of this one is not to think of the Buddha as a special person, but to think of the special person as a Buddha. A special person is your teacher, your heart teacher. Okay? It's very beautiful. Okay, I guess we gotta keep going. The sixth conception was Drupa Chukitsula Ringdunepe Dushikepani. Think of this system as longevity. So I think they're trying to get into the metaphor that if you took the medicine and you got cured, you would live longer, right? And if we are successful in practicing the path, then the teachings will last longer in the world because we are a good example. Right? People will look at us. At the end of the Abhidhamma Kosha, the last lines, I memorized a lot of it, but the last lines are, and it's big, it's 150 pages long. The last lines are, the Dharma will die in this world. And then he divides it. He says, first the Dharma in people's hearts will die, and later the books will be lost. You know? So first, so we have to always be concerned about the longevity of these ideas. You see, there are periods in the history of humankind when these ideas have almost been lost, right? Or they became rote, you know? Like I had a guy in, a Tibetan man stood up in Shanghai and say, why the hell doesn't anybody here understand these things? You know, and I'm like, you know, calm down, you know, and you know, and he was indignant, you know, because it had been there, all the teachings have been there for 800 years, and they got lost. They don't understand emptiness. So first the ideas get lost, and then the books get lost. And then there's a period between that when the books are still there and people are still spouting the books, but they don't know what they mean. They've never really understood emptiness, okay? Anyway, can we do things that would help the Dharma stay longer in the world? Given that, like all cause things, it must die eventually. Can we kind of extend it, okay? Chudi tabu nyamba la tene, kyawe temba chitene yuni do nena, chimarung. Then, as you take a class, you should also have the motivation that I will be the next link. I will be the next link. Okay? I like that. You know, when I go to China, I say, you know, I'm generation, I think it's 41, in the Niguma teachings. I am generation 41, and now you're 42. And they're like, yeah. And I said, your students are going to be 43. And they're like, yeah. Okay, and you got to think like that. Like, we tend to freeze our teacher. We think, oh, I'll never be like that, you know. But it has to go from teacher to teacher. It has to. I will move on, and then you have to teach it. You know, then you have to sit up here. And then your student has to sit up here. And you got to think of it that way. You gotta envision that process, you know. You will be the teacher. You will be 42, generation 42. And you have to take that responsibility. everywhere you are, every country you're in, wherever you live, they pass, the generations pass, and then you must carry it on, right? So as you sit in the class, you have to plan for that eventuality, right? You have to think, how would I carry on this teaching? How will I carry on this teaching? Because it doesn't stay. You know, those great teachers, they pass, they move on. And then it's your problem. And you, even as you sit in the class listening to this particular Lam Rim for the first time, you have to plan how you're going to carry it on. That's what he's saying, okay? Because you have to. Things don't freeze, things aren't static, things move. Generations pass, and you have to take responsibility, okay? And then you have to plan for the next generation, right? As you sit in the class, think, I will do what I have to do to make this lineage continue. I will be the next link in the lineage. I'll take that responsibility, and I'll do a good job. Okay, in my own way, right? Each teacher is different. Okay, you will teach it different than me, and the way you teach it will be good for your people. Okay, you shouldn't teach it the way I teach it. You should teach it your own way. Okay, the general information shouldn't change because that would screw up the recipe. But you have to pass it on in your own style, and that may be radically different, and that's fine because certain people will be attracted to that, and that's fine. That's the way it should be. Okay, ring the nepa chima rung yam dsampin. Kangdar yang du sheng up and ni patient shape karan jesu jamba don. Dupa ni sangye la jinso gomba yin. We have this step in the process of developing bodhicitta, right? Do you remember kinde menga dun? The seven step cause and effect thing? Anyway, there are two steps in it where you try to remember the kindness of other people. Everyone you ever meet has been your mother. You should remember their kindness and then you should repay it. Pabongka Rinpoche makes the comment that if you think about it, step conception number 5 is to recall the kindness of the Buddhas, and step number 6 is to repay it. Okay? So 6 means what? I'll repay your kindness by carrying on the lineage. Right? 5 means, what was 5? Oh, the Buddha is a holy being, right? So you honor who the Buddha is and your teacher. Right? And then 6 is automatically you say, I'll carry it on. I'll be the next one. Okay? Sangi ki nam tin sawa. Thapa chu nyen be tse shin du kel che wani rangi gito ke gyal shin nyen go. So he's wrapping up. You want to wrap up? Let's wrap up. Let's go with him. Because then you get to hear the story of Siddhartha. Which is really cool. Alright, it's got, you know, like demons and monsters and demon slayer. Okay, we got like a few more sentences. You talk to Gaurishan. He says, but to bottom line, he's wrapping up, right? Never take a teaching without actively sitting in the teaching, trying to apply it to yourself. As opposed to other people around you. I wish she would listen to this. She could really use this, you know. Okay, that's what we all do, right? Or the teacher, you know, he should listen to that. And that's okay. He should, but that's another story. Okay, Gyeshen de Nemin Rangila Lokshik to Shak. Chen Yemba de Lokshik to Shak. Don't put your spirit over here and the teaching over here. Let one come to the other during the class as you're listening. Okay? Shik to Shak. Shagna. So it doesn't matter how deep, and he uses the word noah. Noah means sharp, penetrating. The teaching is, if you don't let it touch your own soul, okay? During the class, constantly evaluating, how could that apply to me? Okay? So again, perna. Perna cheshin la na no yume. Melongi nang te dugna sel gopatar. Okay, so I don't know. Let me think of an example. Okay, so you're like a junior in high school. And I don't know about you, but when I was a junior in high school, or sophomore, most of the morning time before leaving for school was pimple management. You know, right? I don't know about you, but you know, we had Fiso hacks and we had all these expensive things, and we had needles and we had matches, and you'd be like, oh God, I'll never get this girl if this pimple's there, you know, you squeeze it, you know, I don't know. So, but you can't do pimple management without a mirror. You need a mirror, okay, right? You can't like work on your pimples before school if you don't have a mirror. He says, let the Dharma be your mirror. Let the teachings as you listen to them in class be your mirror and use them to see yourself. Use them to see your condition and to detect problems in your condition. Okay? Use them to detect the pimples on your soul. Okay? Like use the teachings during the class. Let it be a mirror in which you examine your own behavior and your own goodness. You know, how do I measure up? Let the mirror, let the Dharma, let the PT, as it's spoken, compare yourself to that ideal and see where there's problems. Okay? And then even as you are listening, make corrections on the fly with your own behavior and your own life. Okay? 슈다 nianqing. One more sentence. Kyun chakpa shik tong na daki gyu di tabo shik tu song on yamdu ila duma ke. If during the class you detect that something mentioned in the class which is negative applies to you, then feel sad. Oh, he described this jealousy about other students, right? Geshe Michael described his own jealousy during his training years. I don't think I ever overcame it. We just moved away from each other. But you know, you're jealous of another student, and then you should think, oh, that applies to me. I'm sorry to say that applies. Unfortunately, that applies to me also. And embrace that kind of thinking during a class. A class is a tabzing. What's tabzing? Struggle session. This was in the early communist years in China, right? They get around in a circle and start slapping each other. You know, I saw you slack off this morning and you didn't wash the dishes that good. Bam. You know, and it was a system. So do it to yourself. Self-criticism. You know, I'm guilty of that also. And feel sad. And then get rid of those faults. You know, work to get rid of them. Okay, you can't stop your jealousy of another student and your competitiveness and your negative view of them if you don't admit that you have it. Okay? So the purpose of sitting in the class is to admit your faults. Because then you can fix them. Okay? Alright. Tabla be chitub che gopayan. That's the way you should take a teaching. Yay! Okay, so we're going to get to Sudasa Putra, which is a very cool story. Tonight, time dark is a good time to tell that story. All right. Any announcements? Oh, I have one announcement. At 5 o'clock, am I right? Oh, I was supposed to stop at 4:30?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. That's like, you know, you're sitting on the mat, you throw it out, and then you grab it. We gotta do another half hour. Sorry. You gotta wait for the while the computer's firing up. The purpose of these retreats is multiple, but mostly we want to give you some ammunition to improve your life. Yeah. So spiritual ammunition is one thing. The yoga is supposed to help your health also, right? Hopefully we learn some better eating habits, which we can all use, okay? So we get a master at eating to come, and we get a yoga master to come, and you know, trying to improve your quality of your life. So then we get a couple of creative people to come and teach us how to be creative. So we're trying to enrich your life in many ways, okay? And one is So today they'll begin, those talks will begin today with a liver flush. Kidney flush talk. I like those things. I come to them, okay? I'm coming to the kidney flush talk. I think it works. So during this week, if you choose to, it's like voluntary, you can take some gentle herbal teas, and then they have an effect of flushing out your kidneys. And he can tell you, I mean, you want to flush your kidneys, okay? No, I mean, you think you're immune to these things, and then suddenly you get it. I have a, what do you call it? I am the proud owner of my first dryer machine. Washing machine and a dryer. Okay, like in my whole life, I never owned anything. Now I have a dryer, a washing machine, a car. And so Lama came over one day and said, I said, I'm drying my clothes. I thought she would be proud of me. And then she's like, did you clean the filter? And I'm like, how do you do that? And she like walks over and you pull out this thing, right? And there's all this crap build up on the filter. And then she said, you know, in our house we had a fire because we didn't clean the filter. And then it caught on fire and it almost burned the house down. And she's like, get this crap off the filter, you know. And then you take this big ball of fuzz off the filter, right? I don't know, it feels healthy somehow. And then you put it back in. And the kidney flush does the same thing. Okay. No, there's crap that builds up in your body. I saw a video of an autopsy, and it builds up in your body. It's really bad because your kidney's a filter, and it never gets cleaned your whole life, you know. And like things like arsenic, all water has arsenic in it. All water. Our water has more. But it's accumulative. It never leaves your body. Your kidney filters it out, and it stays in your kidney. So then you... We'll be doing a flush that flushes out some of the toxins. So Mercedes will be teaching that, and I encourage you to come. Then after that, we'll have a, you know, Anatole will teach us how to eat, which he's been trying. I haven't been listening that well, but I keep coming back. Maybe it will stick. And then like that. So we're trying to work on you from different, you know, from every part of you. Let's try to make you happy from every part of you. Healthy is it helps to be healthy, right? To be creative, you got to be healthy. If you're sick, you can't like go to Paris and write a play if you're sick. So you got to take care of the machine. And that's part of the retreat. We want you to be creative, but to be creative, you have to be healthy also, right? Okay. All right. And it catches up to everybody. Don't think you're immune, okay? Like, I abused my body for quite a long time. Eventually it catches up. Okay, so it's better to take care of it as you go. All right, we're going to start on Sudassa. We still have about 20 minutes. So hang in there, okay? I know you've been on your butt for a while. Some ant. All right. Did I give you a break? Yeah, I did give you a break. Okay. Deta Kirable. What were we talking about last? Take a teaching as? Yeah, use the teaching to reflect your own behavior and detect problems in your own behavior. So he's going to tell a story about that. All right, ready? Deta Kirable. Kirab means Jataka, okay? The stories of the Buddha's former life. Before he became a Buddha. So those are cool. Someday it'd be nice in our free time to read the Jatakas together, which are there. They're in Tibetan, and they're very beautiful. The first Dalai Lama wrote a beautiful book on the Jatakas. But these are cool stories about the Buddha while he was still making mistakes. Okay? And so it's kind of nice to hear about an enlightened being's mistakes. Before he became enlightened, or she. Okay. Then in that Jataka, it says, Daki chupa ngembe suk, chuki meilong sel tongna, ila duma rabke te, dagni chula chopar gyur. So there was a person named Sudassa. I don't know the Sanskrit, I'm reconstructing it, okay? It's probably Sudassa Putra. Okay, Sudassa Putra. Son of Sudassa. And this is a famous verse that he spoke. He said, Daki Chupa Ngembe Suk, I have seen in the mirror of the Dharma the reflection of my own negative behavior. I have seen in the mirror of the Dharma the reflection of my own negative deeds. Yila Dongwa Rabgete, and it has made me sad. Dagni Chila Chopa Gyur, and so I have turned to spiritual practice. Okay, in the mirror of the Dharma, I detected the mistakes in my own life, in the way I've been conducting my own life, which applies to all of us. We all are making mistakes now in how we conduct our life. You can either ignore them, pretend you don't have them, or you can go looking for them and become a better person, right? It's better to go looking for them. And this is the format, this is the time, okay? So there's a famous verse in the Jatakas which says, I looked into the mirror of the Dharma and I saw the faults in how I was conducting my life. And now I've sought to correct them. Okay? That's the quotation. We're coming back to that quotation, so remember it. Alright? Shesa dasi pu gyapu kang te. He had another name, which was Kung, in Tibetan it's Kung Ta. And there's a debate about how to spell it. It's also spelled Kung Ta. So there are different spellings of it. The Sanskrit is Kalmashapada. Anyway, you don't care. Okay, here we go. I'm just saying there's different versions of it. Gyalse Dawala Shupa. He spoke those words to the Bodhisattva named Chandra. Okay, there's a Gyalse Dawa means the Bodhisattva named Chandra. So these are words that were spoken by Sudasa Putra to a Bodhisattva named Chandra, Gopayin. We should be like him, says Pabong Kampuche. Then he says, hey, you want to hear the whole story? Then, of course, he goes off on the whole story. We don't have time to do the whole one before this afternoon, but we'll start. Deni ngun chomden de lopa lam kin ne kapsu. In days gone by, when the Buddha was still not enlightened yet, he was still like us. He was sitting in class and trying to figure out what the heck they're talking about. Okay, Gyalpo Dawa. Kapsu Gyalpo Dawa Shepar Chungbetse. And then in that life, the Buddha was called Chandra, Prince Chandra. Okay? He lived a life in which he was called Prince Chandra. By the way, it also seems to say that the Sudasa Putra was a prince, but we'll have to talk about that someday. Deni ngun chom de de lopa, sorry, dawashib tum tse. Sudase pu she jawa mi sumbo se ne sawashik yute. Then there was this guy named Sudasa Putra who was like a wild man, and he would eat human beings alive. He would eat people alive. He would catch human beings and cook them and eat them. He was like a, what do you call it, like a mountain man or something like that. Okay? Se ne sawashik. Lanchi gyabu kemitse adu pepana. One day the prince went to a pleasure garden. Pleasure garden in the old days was like 30 acres of forest where the prince would go hunt animals and stuff like that. Okay. Tramse lepa mawashi ongte. Then this often happens that princes and kings meet Buddhist sages in the forest. So there was some Buddhist sage in the forest and the prince ran into him. And de la gyalpo chunyambitse. And then the prince said, you know, could you teach me a little bit? And the yogi said, okay, I'll teach you. And sitting there under the trees in the forest, the yogi taught the prince. Okay. Lobur du chacho chembo chung. Then suddenly there was a great disturbance in the forest. Chungwa chiyin tar chukpe. And they went to investigate. Sudase pu onwa shene. Oh, Sudasa Putra is on his way here. The wild mountain man, the human eating wild mountain man, is running towards you right now. Okay, all right. Shene chapgoa namki sudase pu kangta misen de dir jikshin du chite. So all the servants came and told the prince, you know, he's on his way. We gotta clear out. You know, we gotta run. Okay, da dan lambo che dan xing da dan maki mangbu pung yang chewa gyur. They had horses. They had war elephants. They had chariots, and they had infantry accompanying the prince on his trip through the forest. And they all turned around and ran. You know, so he's like, okay, the prince is like, ah, you know, Shimchina. De la chile fa zechen, kadra zepe, dula babso shupana. Then he said, everybody said, well, what should we do? And he said, let's negotiate. Let's meet him and talk reasonably, man to man. Zene dula babso shupana. Geshindu. Then he was like, happy. The bodhisattva was like, yeah. Let me talk to this guy. I can calm him down, you know. Then Tsumo Soki Kakyang. Then all the, what did it mean? His queens, his companions. They were all like, no, no, it's not going to work out. He's like, no, let me try. You know, it's a kadridze. Sembar Chacho Chembo Kanyang Yopa Der Jumbe. So the prince, instead of running, he went to the source of the noise. He walked forward. Okay, wait. Kotute rade dan pupchar signe jipa dan tetsam mepar dawa puk dawa ngayente na der yong yepe tso shon ki sumbana. Then Siddhasa Putra got saw him and was what do you call it? Flew into a rage. He had a sword and he had a shield, and he was chasing the soldiers who were supposed to be bodyguards. He's chasing them. And then here comes this one guy towards him. You know? So he's like, then the bodhisattva walks up to the wild man and says, you know, hey, I'm Prince Chandra. Okay? Without any fear or any uncertainty. Let's talk. Okay? Sumbana. Koyan Sorlokte. He turned around, the wild man. He's on his way chasing the... He turns around, you know, he says, who the hell are you? You know, and then he says, Pilan Kyuni Guso. Oh, I was also looking for you. You know, Serne Gypte. He ran up to him. Ongne Gyalse Daola. He grabbed the bodhisattva and flopped him over his shoulder. Just threw him over his shoulder. Okay? Tarpa Serne Gypte Ongde. And then he ran away. Gyalse Dawa La Tarpa La Kyende carried him to his cave, wild man's cave. Okay, Kyende Trene. Korangi Ne Mi Kenru Mambu Kamwa. Then the prince looks around in the cave. There are many human skeletons. Okay, Kenru Mambu Kamwa. Sashi Mara. The ground is covered with, soaked with blood. Alright. Chechang La Sope Chensen Dupa Chenda. Then there are wolves eating the leftovers in the cave. Like he lives with the wolves in the cave. They are enjoying the leftovers. Wild wolves. Jaga. Then there are, what do you call it? Jaga means, what are those birds that eat dead corpses and stuff? Vultures and buzzards are just walking around, picking up scraps of fingers and toes and, you know. Then kata. Kata means a crow, which is a large crows that like to eat leftover people stuff. Drami Nyamba. And then, so it, the inside of the cave is like, you know, it sounds like a rapper's den. I don't know. It's noisy. Like, there are animals growling at each other over scraps of human beings. And wild birds making weird sounds. So it's a scary place. Nyamba. Rosepe dupe do napur kyurpa. And the walls of the cave had become blackened from the smoke of the fire that he used to cook the people. Okay, so it's dark. It was scary. So he throws the bodhisattva, the prince bodhisattva, down on the ground. Then he checks out his face, and the bodhisattva is like, you know, and he's like, Mikje de Tashing. Then he's like, Siddhasa Putra's like, looks at him. Mikte means like that. Mikte, she's saying, Mya Sor Cheto. Then he just took a rest for a while because he had to carry the guy there, right? Then he said, Deche Gyalse Dawe Kimit Seldu Tamsa lepa mawa de la chuki yun bugyu ma chung. And then the Bodhisattva had a thought. Something occurred to him. Huh, I took a teaching from that yogi in the forest and I forgot to make him an offering. You know? Like, he's not worried about dying. Okay? He's not even thinking about it. My God, I forgot to make an offering for the teaching. Okay? And he broke into tears. You know, thinking how he had disrespected the yogi, you know. Hey, wait a minute. Aren't you the Prince Chandra, the Bodhisattva? Yeah. You're supposed to be. I heard you were like had a lot of guts. And now you just get to my cave and you start crying. Okay? Like, the wild man is like, you're like embarrassing. You know, you're already, like, you're like a girl. You're like crying, you know? Okay, sorry. Let's know that. Say, Chima Shorwa Yaretsen. Then he was amazed that the prince would be crying. Nyam ne chung na lo ten tembo dun me gyur. Nyangen chung na tupe mi pen. Deng na yowar min gyowa kanyam me serwa de tembo nang. Then he quotes an old saying, like a folk saying. I guess it's true what they say, you know. People have lots of guts until they get into a tough situation. And once they lose a loved one, all their Buddhist learning evaporates. And there's nobody who can, once you start waving sticks, there's nobody who doesn't duck. Okay? That he says that to the prince, you know. Young mayor said, it must be true what they say. Dewi na kyu tamba mushi. Then he says, tell me the truth. Ngay se topa am, nyan se dan sumo dan pu dan pama dan tel gune kyu chima chungam. Are you crying because you're worried I'm going to kill you? Or are you crying about you're going to lose your relatives and you won't see your queens again and your son and your parents? You know what? Why are you crying? Okay, tell me the truth. Okay, kang yin tambo mu means tell me straight. Siddha, tell me straight. Why are you crying? Sevala gyalse de lendu. Then the Bodhisattva said, "Nge chamse shigla chushu par yunbu gyu machume." You know, when I came to see you interrupted me. I was having a class with a yogi, and I, you know, you came, and then I forgot to make him an offering. Okay, yunbu machume nga tong. So just let me go back. Let me go, and I just want to go give him an offering, and then I'll come back. Okay, tong bang yunpu ne lang epa le ongshe sumbana. Then I'll just come back to your cave. Kyoki jitsa mekya mi dente. Don't stop bullshitting me. Okay? Who's that? Siddhartha Putra is like, come on. What are you talking about? Mi dente. Chidaki kana lenchik tarwa lar samshin to chidaki tundushi ongshe. What person who has once entered the jaws of the Lord of Death would return again? Okay? Who would do that? Who'd be crazy enough to do that? Sawala, ngai tsiki la ongo she kemi langsam am. Then the Bodhisattva says, I've given you my word. I've given you my word. Okay. Gandhi Putta, I am Chandra. I gave you my word. Okay. Yinde, demba sotan dara midoro. I would be more likely to die than to break my word. Okay. Shumana, ko yin ma che shin du nyam sepe. So he didn't believe him. Siddhartha Putra didn't really believe him. But he wanted to see. He was curious. He said, okay, you go. Then you come back. Just wanted to check it out. Then he was thinking, I can catch him anyway. You know? But let's see. Let's see if he comes back or not. Nyam se means to take a measure of another person. He wants to see. Is he really the man he says he is? You know, ona songshi kyu denbe keche wa tao. I will see. I'll see if you can keep your promise. You know, songla tamse de la chite la chila lar nyu de shou. go give your offering, but come back quick. Okay. Dagan, do you know Dagan? Dagan is an interesting word. The only other place you see it is in a tantric initiation. And the lama who grants a tantric initiation must first enter the mandala themselves. And that's called Dagan. And it takes like 4 or 5 hours. Okay, so before you grant an initiation, you must enter the mandala yourself. And that's called Dagan. Dagan means the preparation for the holy event. He says, I'm going to do a Dagan. Then the prince is like, what do you mean? He says, I got to get the fire ready. Okay? So you go, you run, you give your money, come back. I'll get the fire ready. Okay? Let me do short. Then rangi kim du chunde, chamse de la tsikche shi yundu. Then the bodhisattva went back home because the yogi had gone to the palace. And he met the yogi. And he, in return for 4 lines that he had taught him, he only got through 4 lines, right? He paid him 4,000 gold coins. 1,000 gold coins per line of teaching, okay? All right. And that verse we've had before, that verse came a while back. But I'm going to repeat the verse for you. This is the verse for which he paid 1,000 gold coins for each verse, okay? Kanshi tupe yini te kyunne lepa gala tembo nidu gyur sherab keshin timu mepar gyur rangi shekyan deni nyoi rik. Those who take teachings properly come to have thoughts of devotion and thoughts of joy, which are unchangeable. They gain wisdom and they remove their ignorance. These teachings, even if you had to buy these teachings with your own flesh, it would be appropriate. It's worth it. If you had to cut off fingers for each line of this verse, it's worth it. To get these teachings, it's worth it to cut off parts of your body to purchase them. Okay? Very famous lines. Very, very famous line. The Dharma is worth purchasing with your flesh. Okay? Dene yabki tabnatsoki kakyang. I can tell you're into it. We better finish. Then his father tried to talk him out of going back, of course. Masen, he didn't listen. Sadasi Pusar Pepana, he returned to the cave. Kugyan Rimbone Tongde Yatsambagyan. Then the wild man, the mountain man, saw him coming from a distance and he was, God damn. He's coming back. You know, he was like, wow, you know. Yatsambagyan. Then they Da Soshik Sumana. Then the prince got to the door of the cave and said, okay, let's eat. Okay. Sawe du ngarangishe. I'll decide when we eat. So Sudasi Putra is getting a little bit confused. You know, he's like, okay, I'll decide when we eat. Sudasi ngarangishe. Tata mela dupa mung dupe, dupa chengi mela shed, shad segna shayan dudu dang chepa. You don't know anything about eating people. Okay? When the fire, when you first make the fire, if you stick the person on the fire then, you get smoke taste in the flesh. You know? It gets all smoky. You let the fire burn for a while, then you throw the person in. Okay? Okay? Gotta learn how to cook people. While we're waiting for the fire to burn down, I'm just curious, what the hell did the yogi teach you that was worth going back as your last deen in this life? You know, what was it he told you? You know, Kelcheta, what was so important that you had to go back? Teach me, teach it to me. You know, like, teach it to me. Tamse lekshe de chö dan chö mayimbe yewa chepa chepa yimbe simbo le kyang chutsu ngyamba kyula tupe yundengi chishikja. Then the bodhisattva says, what good would it do a person like you? Okay? Because that yogi was teaching about what's good and what's wrong. So, you are worse than a demon. You are eating human flesh. So, you know, you're not worthy to hear that verse. You wouldn't give him the verse. Okay? Kudemasene Layang. Then the Siddhartha Putra got more pissed off, right? And he's like, okay, you sit for a while. Just doing it. Kuran Gyalpo Nam. Let's talk about it, you know. You're a prince, right? Yeah, I'm a prince. Yeah, so what do you do in these pleasure parks? You go out and kill animals. You know, that's what you people do. You royalty. You keep these parks so you can go kill animals. You know, they do that in England, right? With foxes or whatever. You know, and it was a custom. You kept wild animals. You had people keeping the wild animals in the park. And then you all went on a horses and you went and killed the animals. And that was a day's entertainment. So you're no better than I am, right? You yourself are not acting in accord with the Dharma. Okay? Then the Bodhisattva said, you're right. You know, kings and princes who kill wild animals, they are not following the Dharma. That's against the Dharma. Okay? I admit that. Misha sawa dewe kya mede. But a person who eats a human flesh is worse than them. Okay? Ridagle riktoe. We consider humans to be higher than animals in the sense that they can more quickly attain enlightenment through the process of study and meditation. Okay? We call torikpa. Torikpa means they have a better capacity. They're more likely to get there in this lifetime. Okay? So it's more wrong to kill a human. Denang shingi shiwe shayang sarmirung. Who eats human flesh? Except you. Okay? Sekichirdu supa kalarung. Then, if it's wrong to eat human flesh, it's even more wrong to kill a human for that flesh. Okay? Kalarung shisan. Deni siddhase pu, kyu nge tundu ombadi kyu shunglu ki tsulam mikeso serwa. Then he says, Siddhartha Putra says, the fact that you came back means that you are unworthy to rule a kingdom. Okay? Like, you know nothing about politics. Okay? The fact that you came back, it means you know nothing about how to manipulate a kingdom. Right? You don't deserve to be a king. Then he says, Night densik sumajir di ongbe na nganyi shungnu lake. I am a master of politics because I kept my word. I came back. That means I am worthy to be a real king. I'm the real stuff that kings are made of. Okay. Then Dene kumi shenam naiwang de gyunatar. Kyuni padan delki matangwe. Then Siddhartha Putra is getting confused, you know, he says, you know, everybody else I ever caught and tied them up and got them ready to cook, they were like all got scared shitless, you know? And here you are. You just seem so relaxed, you know. What's the thing, you know? How do you do that? Kyu chiwe jipa me da sarwala. It seems as though you are unafraid of death itself. You know, this is a cool conversation. Make a nice movie, right, or something? Okay. Gyalse dawe. Then Chandra replied, Minam dipa chepa gyupa gyur. Ngeni dipa le chepa mitembe de chir jipa me do. People who have hurt other people have something to fear when they die. But I can't remember ever hurting another person. So I'm not afraid of death. That's interesting, you know. I can't recall ever hurting anyone in my life. So I don't feel afraid of death. Jipa medo. Dewe na da chujin chedo. So let's get to the main event. Chujin means, what do you call? Homa. It's an ancient Vedic fire puja. So we'll do a homa on what? Friday, I think. It's an ancient custom. It predates Buddhism by thousands of years, 5,000 years, right? Old. But he says, let's get to the homa, honey. Like, he's like, do it. Okay? Let's get to the fire offering. Sungbe. Ko depa kine mikchi me kang. Then, Siddhartha Putra started to weep out of devotion. Okay. And then he felt a rush up his spine of like electricity up his spine. Dikpe Ranjan Junior Gubertete. Then he confessed his life, how he had been living. Gupatete, and he looks at the Bodhisattva, you know, Kyutabula, Sheshindu Dikpa Chepani, Misepe Duktunwayimbe. To kill a person like you would be worse than drinking poison. Okay, he gets it. Dewe Kyoki Tamse Lepa Mawa Dala Tendasa. So hey, rather than killing him, why don't you just tell me the verse that you got? Okay? Let's do that next time, okay? Okay? Tell me the verse that they taught you. Let's not kill you right now. Okay? Bhuki Rishi Medodham Vira Minshi Ninde Gampadi Sange Shindu Nigde Uwagi Roku Namda Shina Chepasho Idam Guru Radhamada Kandayatayami. Let's do Gewa. Wadi Hewoka Sanam Yeshe Tsotsokshin Sanam Yeshe Lechum.